All right, open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 tonight. And while you're turning, some of our college students are home for spring break, and we welcome you guys home. Good to see you this weekend. And also visiting with us tonight is Carmen Amendori. Carmen, hold your hand up right there. Carmen is running for the House of Delegates here in our area, and she's conservative, and is not going to go along with what they're doing down at the Funny Farm. So, you can have confidence in her. All right, Matthew chapter 5. I want to read two verses tonight, and then we're going to look at a couple of other verses as we go through the message this evening. But I want to read verse 29 and verse 30. If you will look at those verses, 29 and 30. All right, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he is speaking the Sermon on the Mount. If you are familiar with this gospel, chapter 5, 6, and 7 contain the Sermon on the Mount. And so he is in the sermon, and here's what he says. "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Look at the next verse. "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Now, many times over the past years, I have spoken to you about the tenderness, the kindness, the graciousness with which the Lord Jesus spoke as he ministered to the people for that 3.5 years of his public ministry. I have dwelt upon that many, many times. He willingly accepted every single person that came to him. Not one time in any of the four Gospels do we read of where anyone was turned away or was not granted access to the Lord. Not once in all of the recorded life of the Savior was anybody treated unkindly, unfairly, or without the greatest respect. I think that must have been one, I think there were many, but I think that must have been one of the things that attracted so many people to the Lord. He was so tender, so approachable, so one of us. As I said just a couple of Sundays ago, that I don't think anybody ever felt that they were beneath him. He was just one of us. And he was tender-hearted. He was compassionate and as caring as it is possible for a person to be. And we all know that there is another side to tenderness. And the other side to tenderness is severity, sternness. Strong words. And I want to speak to you tonight on the severity of the Lord Jesus. I've preached to you many, many times on the tenderness of the Lord Jesus. But tonight, I want us to look at the other side. I want us to look at the severity, the sternness, which our Lord could sometimes display. In spite of His infinite gentleness, there was a certain sternness in the heart of our Savior. I think His gentleness was blatantly obvious to everyone who saw Him. But I am also sure that as He ministered among the masses of people who sought Him out, some of them had to hear and say, when they heard some of these things, like these two verses that I just read for you a moment ago, when they heard Him say some of these things, they had to say in their own hearts that there is a certain sternness, there is a certain severity about His message. Let's pray together, and then I want to speak to you on the severity of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God, and I pray Your blessings upon the Word as we look at this passage and a couple of others. And Lord, help us tonight to learn something and to see some very important truths from the Bible. And I pray that You will speak to our hearts. Lord, in this day and age, we need to hear the whole counsel of God. And I've preached many, many times on the kindness and the tenderness. And certainly we see so much tenderness in our Savior. The multitudes that came to Him, and yet none were rejected. People from all walks of life, Jew and Gentile alike. And not once did He ever turn anyone away. There was without a doubt a great tenderness about the Lord that attracted people to Him. But now, Lord, as we look at these few verses tonight, where we see another side and we see the severity of our Savior, I pray that You will use it to speak to our hearts and to move us closer to You. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for the Lord Jesus. Thank You for the Bible. Bless it now, we pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Now, let me say right off the bat that I do not think, not even once, I do not think that His sternness, His severity, ever got in the way of His gentleness. I don't think there was ever anything antagonistic between His gentleness and His severity. There's an old French proverb that says, there is nothing so tender as an austere man. And there's certainly a great deal of kindness, but also a severity about the Lord. And I want to call that to your attention tonight. If you just thought about it, I'm sure that you could recall people in your own life who touched your life, who were kind and tender, but who were stern and could be very severe if you pushed them. Maybe a teacher. When I was thinking about this and putting a message together, my mind went back to Mrs. Colbank in the fourth grade. Mrs. Colbank, bless her heart, she was about ready for retirement. Matter of fact, I think she retired the year after I had her. I don't think I had anything to do with it, but I think she retired after the grade where she had me. But she was a very sweet, a very kind lady. But she was stern. And it did not take you long. Matter of fact, we knew before we ever went to fourth grade that you don't mess with that woman. When she says something, she means what she says. But if you fell and skinned your knee on the playground, the first one to you to pick you up in her arms and to soothe you and to dry your tears was Mrs. Colbank. She was a sweet lady, but she was also a very stern and a very strong woman. Now, when you think about it, many of the Old Testament saints would certainly fit into the category I just described. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Joel. I mean, many of these shining Old Testament saints were gentle, kind, gracious men who were full of pity, full of love and concern. But there was a strong, there was a stern, there was a severe side to them. Their message was given to be heard. And when it was rejected or when it was mocked, well, you saw their severity kick in. So I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the severity of Christ. I would ask you to follow me as I trace you through some of the instances that severity was displayed by the Lord Jesus, where it is recorded in Scripture and everyone was able to see it without fail. There are just a few things tonight. Number one, first, I want you to think about the position that he took here in these verses that I read. I want you to think about the position he took about being one of his disciples. This is verse 29 and 30. He's talking here about discipleship. He's talking about you becoming one of his children. And just think about the severity of what he says. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. That's pretty severe, folks. In the next verse, he said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. We've all heard stories about people who were trapped and they couldn't get free and nobody came to their rescue and out of just desperation, they had to cut off a limb. Well, I mean, just thinking about that just makes you cringe. And here's the Lord. I mean, he's been saying all these sweet and wonderful things in the Beatitudes, in the first part of the chapter. And then he's talking about how the believer is the salt of the earth and the light of the world and all that. And then he turns right around and he says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy right arm offend thee or right hand offend thee, cut it off. That's pretty severe. Take your Bible and go over just a couple of chapters to the 10th chapter for just a moment and look at verse 37. Chapter 10 and verse 37. He says here, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Oh my, again, pretty straight language, don't you think? I mean, right to the point, severe words that came from the Savior's lips. And we find them, we read them so often. We read these verses in our Bible so often that I think sometimes we just blow right over them and don't really stop and consider the severity of what he is saying. But folks, I want you to put yourself in the audience 2,000 years ago hearing the Lord Jesus say these words for the first time. I want you to imagine that you are in the audience and you are sitting there listening to him, and imagine you're hearing these words for the very first time. I mean, here is this tender man that you've been watching and listening to. Here is this man who you have watched sit for hours, sometimes days, to receive sick folks who were just coming to him one right after the other. And you've noticed as they're coming that he never seemed aggravated. He never got irritated as people were just continually coming and were always wanting something from him. And you noticed all this. You hear these words of kindness and words of tenderness and love and compassion. And then all of a sudden, he throws in something as serious as verse 37, 38, and 39 of the 10th chapter. I'm telling you, folks, it would have shocked you. You would have been just, you would have just been blown away standing there listening to these words that were so pointed and so strong and so severe. I mean, think about it. Cut your arm off. I mean, that's pretty severe. Pluck your eye out. And then to speak of a cross like he did in verse 38. Hey, folks, please understand this, that the cross was a Roman thing. It wasn't a Jewish thing. The cross was a Roman idea. It was not a Jewish idea. The cross was the most torturous, the most cruel, the most painful and agonizing way to die on this planet. And Jesus said that if you want to be my disciple, what you are to do is joyfully pick up your own cross and carry it for my glory. That's pretty severe. That's severe language coming from the Savior. What he was asking was so demanding. It called them to such self-sacrifice and made life so serious and so grave. I mean, it just put a whole new stamp on the idea of being one of his disciples. And I will guarantee you that none of them had ever heard anybody else teach such serious matters. They learned that gaining the wealth of the entire world was nothing when laid beside the value of one human soul. They learned that any sacrifice on their part was needed in order to for them to win the privilege of being one of his disciples. And folks, these people saw firsthand what was a severe side to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a second thing I want you to think about. Think of this. I don't know if you've ever thought of this or not, but now you will. Number two, think of this. We see this same severity. We see this same severity when the Lord Jesus dealt with questions. All right, now just think about that. It's interesting to me. It's interesting to me that the Lord Jesus never dealt with any two men exactly alike. You ever notice that? He never dealt with any two men exactly alike. And what I noticed as I thought on it, if they were fearful, they were met with amazingly sweet encouragement from the Savior. If they were doubtful, he knew exactly how to shine the light of truth upon their doubt and eliminate their doubt forever. And in one moment, he could be tender and kind, and then instantly, he could become severe and stern. Can I give you an example of that? We need not turn to it, but you're familiar with it. You know the passage of Scripture. It's in John chapter 3. When Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night. And the Bible says that, that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he came at night because he didn't want any of his buddies to find out that he had gone to visit Jesus. And so when he came to the Lord, he buttered him up a little bit. And he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do the things that thou doest except God be with him." Now, what was he doing there? Well, it's called flattery. And these Pharisees were good at it. They knew exactly what they were doing. It was a little patronage on Nicodemus's part. You see, the Lord Jesus had been preaching about this new kingdom that he came to establish, and Nicodemus was intrigued. He wanted to find out more. The works that he had seen in Christ had to be from God. Nicodemus was a smart man, and he knew that what he saw with his own eyes, the Lord doing, had to have been from God. There's no way that a man could have the power that Jesus had. And so he wanted to know more. No man could do the mighty things that Jesus was able to do. And so he wanted to learn more. And the Lord Jesus then went right straight to the point. The Lord knew he was intrigued. And the Lord went right straight to the point with this, you ready? Doctor of the law. Right straight to the point. And Jesus said to him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, folks, when Jesus said that to Nicodemus, it stumped him big time. He had no clue what the Lord was talking about. He looked at Jesus and he said, "Born again? Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, folks, if you think about it, that's the question that would come from about a second grader. If you think about it. And it was at this point when the Lord Jesus turned severe, and where the severity of the Lord Jesus just came bounding forth. In the third chapter and in verse 10, here's what Jesus said to him, and I'm going to summarize it for you. He said, "Nicodemus, are you a teacher of the law? Are you a PhD? You are a scholar, and yet you have no clue what I'm speaking of? Are you serious? How humiliating this had to have been for this educated Pharisee. It was a severe handling of this man, but it had a touch of kindness to it as well, but it was severe nonetheless. And I say it had a touch of kindness to it because as you continue to read the story, you see that our Lord's answer arrested Nicodemus. It got his attention and it penetrated his intellectual defenses and ultimately broke down all of his defenses. And I think that Nicodemus was saved right here in this third chapter of John as a result of the Lord Jesus explaining to him that he had come into this world to die on the cross and to die for his sins. And I think Nicodemus got saved right there. And if you keep reading your Bible in the Gospel of John, you will see that years later, when Nicodemus came with Joseph of Arimathea to get the body of the Lord and to wrap his body for burial, don't you think that as he was wrapping the body of the Savior and placing it in the tomb, don't you think that he remembered Jesus telling him about being lifted up on the cross to die? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. That was said to Nicodemus. Severe. And I guarantee you that Nicodemus looked back on that night in John 3. And when he did, he never felt more loved, and he never felt such kindness coming from the Lord than when he remembered that the one who loved him had been so severe on that lonesome night. Thirdly, just taking another step, so just to prove my point. Number three, I want you to see that Christ was severe in judgment. He was severe in judgment. And you know, I find it interesting that when he spoke of judgment, it was not directed to the people per se, but was directed at the Pharisees. Do you remember that? It was directed at leadership. And again, can you imagine the shock and the surprise when the people all of a sudden heard him speak severely about the judgment that was coming? I mean, the ordinary folks, they saw this kind, sweet, helpful, patient man who would stand for hours and deal with the people and love folks and heal them and help them and show compassion like no one they had ever seen before. But then here would come the Pharisees into the mix. The Pharisees would crash the party. And when they came, I mean, listen, folks, he knew what they were up to. He knew what they were doing. He knew what was in their hearts. He knew that they were full of wickedness and deception and that they were just coming to ask their questions with the intent of trying to catch him in some mistake or some fault or in some doctrinal matter. And the only reason that they were coming, they didn't want his salvation. They didn't want anything to do with him. They weren't going to follow him. They came for one reason, and that was to trick him and to silence his ministry. And in a flash, now think about it, folks. Just picture Jesus standing there, kind, tender, sweet, loving, helping people. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Pharisees, and all of a sudden everything changes, and he points his finger and says, "Woe unto thee, Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites," and he condemned their behavior. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, they must have been shocked when they heard him say these things. I think that they must have just absolutely been floored as he turned and glared at these religious hypocrites and railed against their wickedness. And I don't think that he necessarily enjoyed blasting them. I think it scourged his soul to have to be so severe in the way he handled them. You know, there are some men who delight in passing severe judgment on others. I mean, it's a kind of refuge for their own selfishness. Okay? But I don't think the Lord Jesus took any delight in severely judging the hypocrisy of these religious fools. But you know, there's some folks that the only thing they can understand is a severe tone. You know it? That's the only thing they understand. You have to clear away the debris if you hope to find the palace. I mean, you got to punish the traitors if you're going to save the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? And that is what these religious charlatans were. They were traitors. These Pharisees, Sadducees, these lawyers, these scribes, they were traitors to the kingdom of God. And I understand the Lord being severe with them. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have an ounce of respect for these reverends who deny the Bible and deny the deity of Christ and deny the virgin birth and deny the resurrection. I don't have an ounce, not an ounce, of respect for any of them. I mean, my goodness. If you're an agnostic, get out of the ministry. If you don't believe in the gospel, then go get yourself an honest job. They're traitors to the light. They're traitors to Christian liberty. They're traitors to the truth that they profess to proclaim. If you're a preacher or a teacher in a Bible college or a college administrator and you deny the truth of this book right here, I don't have a bit of patience for you. Not a bit. And I certainly don't blame the Lord Jesus for just scalding these hypocrites every time he got a chance to do so. He had pity for the commoners who had been misled by the hypocrites. But he had none for the ones who did the misleading. And boy, his most severe language was directed at them. Ever notice it? Ever notice it? But folks, let's be honest. Sometimes severity is the only language that they understand because they certainly do not understand God's love and grace. And then finally, we see the severity of Christ when he was tempted by others. You see, the Lord Jesus grew terribly stern whenever he was girding himself for some temptation that was hurled at him. Can I give you an example? You remember when he was talking about the cross, going to Jerusalem to die? And Peter said, oh no, Lord, not so. Oh no, Lord, you can't go to the cross. And what did Jesus do? Some of the most severe words ever spoken by the Savior. He turned at Peter and glared at him and pointed his finger and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh. Now make no mistake, it was Peter's love for the Lord Jesus that made him despise every time Jesus mentioned the cross. It was Peter's love. Peter could not imagine the Lord Jesus being crucified on a cross. He just couldn't imagine such a thing. And Jesus turned around and rebuked Peter with some of the most severe words that he ever spoke. Could there be any more severe words spoken than, get thee behind me, Satan? Yet when tempted by a friend to bypass the reason for which he came to this earth, it brought out that severity. Now, folks, listen. Let me just tie it together for you. You know, in this day of feelings and sentiment and endless political correctness, folks don't like to face the reality of the subject of which I've spoken on tonight. Well, now, preacher, everybody needs to be positive today. We just need to preach on love and getting along with one another, and we just all need to preach on how, you need to preach on how to be happy. But folks, I think we also need to stop and realize that the same Jesus who was kind and loving and patient and who asked all men to come to him, that same Jesus could also be very stern and very to the point and very severe. His love is endless. None of us questions that. His gentleness was infinite. There was no end to the gentleness that our Savior manifested. His grace, you cannot put a dollar amount or a weight amount or a volume amount upon the grace that exuded out of His person. But we must never forget and never ignore the severity of Christ. Brethren, when this Bible here says that it is better for you to go through life without a hand than to have your whole body get cast into hell, you know, if the Lord said that, He meant it. And let me remind you that he who said this knows what hell is like. You say, but that would hurt for a while, but hell would hurt forever. You say, but if I plucked out my eye, well, I'd be in a mess for a while. But it would sure be better than spending eternity in hell. That's his point. He's not telling anybody cut their hand off, and he's not telling anybody pluck your eye out. But he's trying to get you to realize how awful hell is. The severity of Christ. Brethren, when he says something, he means it. And you know, there are some things that you can say in a kind way. There are some things you can say in a loving way. There are some things that are better said in a kind way and a loving way. But when it gets to matters of eternity, and the kind and the sweet and the gracious doesn't work, I think our Lord knew the only thing that was going to work was severity. And we have these few instances where severity came out of his lips. I think we need to pay attention to that. Let me just ask you, dear friend, do you know for sure you're saved and going to heaven? Do you know that for sure? I tell you, if you don't know that, you ought to learn about that tonight. And let the Lord Jesus save your soul tonight.